If you'd like to turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel according to John, chapter 7. The Gospel of John, chapter 7. And reading verses 14 and 15. The Gospel according to John, chapter 7. Reading from verse 14. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, How knoweth this man letters, having never learned? And our subject this morning is the marvelous Christian life. The marvelous Christian life. We read here about the Lord Jesus Christ in Jerusalem, and he is teaching in the temple in Jerusalem, and we read about the reaction to the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's very simple for us to understand. The Jews marveled. They marveled at the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thing it is to even think about the Lord Jesus Christ preaching. Well, no matter how many good preachers we may have heard or heard of, can you imagine being in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ? How you would have marveled at the things that he said. Think of it. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he spoke, well, he only spoke words of truth. Tremendous truth. Words without guile. Everything that he spoke struck at the heart of people. There were no boring sermons. There were no awkward silences, as it were. Times when you would wander off. Times when your thoughts would be distracted. The Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, addressing men and women and children. Sometimes the scriptures just say he opened his mouth. They don't even say he spake. He opened his mouth, because what a glorious thing it is for God to come down into this world clothed in human flesh and to speak to people such as we are. No wonder the Jews marveled. And this is what we read here in this verse. The Jews marveled. By the way, when we read Jews in this instance and in many instances in the Gospels particularly, it doesn't mean the whole of the Jews, the whole of the Jewish nation or the common people. It's the leading Jews, the chief priests, the Pharisees, the scribes, the leading Jews, not the common people. And this is who is alluded to at this particular point. The Jews marveled. Why are they marveling? Well, yes, because of the reasons we've already pointed out, because of the things that he said. But look at what they are saying. How knoweth this man letters, having never learned? We read in verse 15. Well, he speaks so learnedly, so wisely, and yet he's never been taught. How can this be true? This man, this Jesus of Nazareth, well, he is not a recognized teacher. He doesn't have a recognized qualification. He's not from the rabbinical schools. We don't know him. He's a carpenter's son, so we hear. A carpenter's son. Where has he got all this learning? Where has he got all this great insight into the scriptures? He shouldn't have this knowledge. He shouldn't have this learning. That's what they're thinking to themselves. He shouldn't be able to speak in this way, and yet he does. And this is the marvel of it all. And well, we read earlier on about how, well, they sought to lay hold upon him. He was teaching tremendous things, and the leading Jews, the Pharisees, the scribes, they didn't like this. They say to the officers, go and take him. Take him so we can't speak all these things. And well, the officers, they go to take him, but they can't. And why can they not do it? Because never man spake like this man. The word of the Lord had such power. They were given commandments by men, go and take the Lord Jesus Christ. But when they heard the word of God, that overruled any commandment of man. And that's how the word of God ought to be for us. When we read the word of God, well, it ought to overrule any commandment, any influence that men give us. Men may say many things to us, may teach us in ways that are contrary to the word of God. We see it in the world so much nowadays. Schools teaching things. We ought to teach this and teach that. Society telling us how we ought to think. You ought to think like this and that, commanding us even to think in a certain way. But when we hear the word of God, when we hear the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, that ought to overrule any commandment from men. This ought to be our authority. Just like those officers, go and take the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't. Why? Because no man spake like him. He speaks the truth. And that's why they couldn't do it. There was such tremendous power in what he said. And well, we read continuously in the scriptures, not just the leading Jews, by the way, the common people were also astonished. After the Lord Jesus Christ gave his Sermon on the Mount, you read at the end of that sermon, at the end of Matthew chapter 7, you see the reaction of the people. The people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them with authority and not as the scribes. He taught them with authority. Why did he teach with authority? Because his authority came not from men, not from any qualification, but his authority came from God. Of course it did. Men did not recognize him. They say, oh, where did he get all his learning? There's no recognized qualification. But God has given him his authority. He is recognized by God, the anointed one of God, the Christ. He is the one who has been sent by God. And this is why he has authority. Not only, and I won't dwell with this, but not only does he speak the word of God, but he is the word of God. He is the word of God. How can we say that? How can we say that he is the word of God? Because he is the expression of God to us. Everything that we need to know about God, we find in the Lord Jesus Christ. In all that he does, in all that he says, in all his characteristics, his attributes, he is the expression of God, the word of God. That is how we understand it. So when he spoke, no wonder it was with authority, because he didn't just speak the word of God. He was the word of God. He is the word of God. And these things are very important, and I just wanted to spend time right at the start causing us to think about these things and how tremendous it is that the Lord Jesus ever came to address us and to speak to us at all. The Jews marveled at these things. Well, we have the word, but of course, men marveled at him because of his miracles too. The things that he did. He healed those who were sick, those who were lame, disabled, we would say. They could walk just by the touch of the Lord Jesus Christ. These were tremendous things. Those who were blind, we read, were able to see. They had their eyes opened. Those who could not speak, they had their tongues loosened. Dumb from birth, and yet now they were able to speak. And even those who had died, those who were in the grave, as it were raised from the dead. These were marvels, of course they were, for all to see. True, genuine marvels. You see, sometimes churches trying to imitate these marvels, churches, sometimes big mega churches, trying to get people up on the stage, healings. Oh yes, just bring people up and we'll heal people. But these are such pale imitations of the marvels that the Lord Jesus Christ did. When was the last time that you saw some of these healings at these big mega churches? And you would think to yourself, well, that is truly marvelous. When was the last time you saw that? Somebody being brought up onto the stage, and then the preacher would say something, and then he would get up, and you would say to yourself, oh, that is so marvelous. When was the last time you said that? You can't say that. When you see those things in these healing churches, they're not marvelous at all. They are so often staged. They are so often acts. You see these things, and the first thing you think is not marvel, you start to doubt. Oh, is that really true? Was he really paralyzed, that person in the wheelchair? Is that really true? You're never marveled when you see all of these things. You just have doubt. Sometimes you're entertained, because that is what they are ultimately. It's just entertainment. They're never things that cause you to marvel. But these miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ, they were true marvels. When you saw those miracles, there was no room for doubt. You would never question them at all. They were true miracles. And these are the marvels of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a marvel it was that he lived and dwelt among us. And well, we, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ought to reflect some of that glory. We ought to be a marvel to those around us. Of course we ought to be. Not that we can do these things that the Lord Jesus Christ did. We can't speak like he does. We can't heal people like he does. But our lives ought still to be marvelous to people. People ought to see us as Christian people and marvel. Because this is a marvelous faith. This is a marvelous thing that we see. Is this what your life is like? Do you profess to be a Christian? And is your life marvelous to other people? We must ask ourselves these things. Is my life a marvel? People ought to marvel at your conversion. That great transformation that has taken place when you came to the Lord Jesus Christ. That conversion experience, that new birth. People ought to marvel at that. They ought to say to themselves, oh, well, this man, this woman, well, once upon a time, they weren't interested in the things of God. Sometimes they would come to church, but they were bored half the time. They didn't understand anything that the Bible said to them. They wanted to go out and do their own things of a weekend. Most times they wouldn't come to church at all. There was no spiritual life in them. And yet now we see they're completely changed. They love God. They love meeting with the people of God. They love speaking about God. They would never speak about anything much, only something trivial before. But now they speak about God, and they speak as though they want you to know the same salvation. This is a marvel. Is that what your life is like? People see how you were and how you are now, and they marvel at these things. That is what people ought to think about us. We ought to be a marvel to all those around us. We ought to be a marvel too in the way that we live. People ought to marvel that we are not like them. If we are just like the world, people are not going to marvel at us. They're not going to marvel at the Christian faith. People will look at us, oh yes, well, he professes to be a Christian. But, he gets angry just like I do. He watches the same things that I do. He enjoys the same worldly sports and leisures and things that I do. He doesn't always go to church. He doesn't ever speak about his faith. Is that what people think about you? Oh, yes, he appears to be a Christian, but there's nothing marvelous about him. So I'm not going to seek after God. I'm not going to seek after the Lord Jesus Christ. This Christian faith is just like any other religion. It's just like any other hobby or tradition that you have. It's not a marvelous thing. And this is why the church is declining. The church is not declining because of evolution or because of science or because of other things like that. It's because people see the people of God and they're living such unmarvelous lives. It's clear to people that the Christian faith to many is just a hobby. It's just a tradition. There's nothing marvelous. So many people don't even have a conversion experience. They don't have a testimony. They come to church, well, just because my parents do, just because what I've always done. That's not marvelous. That's just a tradition. So we have to be marvelous. We have to be like Christ. And when people saw Christ, they marveled. They didn't just think, oh yes, he's just a man, just saying things like other religious people do. They marveled. And if we are followers of Christ, if we are Christ-like, there must be something marvelous in us. Or else, well, we have to question, is our faith genuine? Is our faith true? Have we truly yielded our lives to him? These things are so very important. But of course, well, people will never marvel at us, at our faith, if we don't marvel at it ourselves. Do we marvel at the faith ourselves? Is this gospel message a marvel to you? Or is it just something you hear on a Sunday? Is it a marvel? Well, we've spoken about the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, coming into this world to do what? Is it not a marvel when you think about what he came to do? The Lord Jesus, the eternal God, he could have come into this world just to set up an earthly kingdom. Of course, he had eternal power. He was all powerful. He could have come into this world, just set up a throne, sat on it, and reigned forever and ever and ever. But that would not have been marvelous. He came into this world to do something marvelous, to suffer and to die for us. That is far more marvelous, far more amazing than coming and being king, lording it over us. He came to die for us. That's marvelous. And well, why did he come to die? Because of sin. Because of sin. What a marvelous thing. And not sins that were his own, our sins. What a marvelous thing this is. Do you marvel at these things? Do you think that you are a sinner? Maybe you're one of these people. Well, they think they've done some things wrong, but I'm not really that bad. Other people have done bad things as well. Yes, I'm not perfect, but who is? Well, that's not good enough for God. When you come to God, there is that sense you have to marvel at your own sin. You have to marvel at how sinful you really are. Think about your sin. Think about the times when you've been unkind. Think about the times you've been selfish. If you really think about it, you'll realize, well, actually, I was more selfish than I actually thought I was. I'm more unkind than I actually thought I was. You start to marvel at your sin. Not just, oh yes, sometimes I don't do things very well. You marvel at your sin. Oh, I am so lost. Oh, I am so wicked at times. So unkind, so manipulative, so covetous, so full of pride. You think back through your life when pride stopped you doing this, stopped you doing that, made you very unkind to people. Do you marvel at your sin? And not just at your sin to other people, but your sins against God. You read the Ten Commandments. The first four commandments are against God. The things you never did for God. You never put him first. You think upon all these things. God has given you so much. And there were so many times, oh, I'm not going to do God's will today. I'm not going to do God's bidding. I'm going to go my own way. Do you think about your sin and you marvel at these things? Well, if you do, then you'll really cry out for God. Then you'll really cry out, Lord, save me. I need a Saviour. And you'll marvel that Christ ever came to suffer and to die for you. You'll think to yourself, I was such a sinner. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he knows how sinful I am. He knows how wicked I am, how proud I am, how angry I can get, how selfish. And yet he still went to the cross to suffer and to die for my sin. He still loved me so much. You see, this is when we get the sense of marvel. But if we don't marvel at it, well, nobody else will. Do you marvel at the glorious gospel of grace? Marvel that Christ has died for you, even though you have been such a sinner. We have to marvel ourselves. If our sin is not bitter to us, then Christ will not be so sweet, as one Puritan once said. But well, this is a tremendous marvel to us. And once we are saved, well, then we marvel at all that the Lord does for us. We marvel at his answers to prayer. We marvel that he loves us so much. We marvel that we are saved. We marvel that we will never die. We will never die. We have eternal life. Do you marvel at these things? If I was to say to you, are you sure that you are going to go to heaven? What would you say? And I've mentioned this many times before, but sometimes people say, oh, well, I'm not so sure. I haven't lived very well in the recent days. I did something wrong a couple of months back. So if you ask me if I'm going to heaven, oh, I'm not so sure. Maybe ask me in another few days or something. There's nothing marvelous about that, that you might go to heaven, but you're not really very sure about it. There's nothing marvelous in that. But when you know that you are going to heaven, because Christ has died for your sin, and when he died, he shouted out, it is finished. The work is finished. Every sin has been paid for. And because I put my faith in that, I know for sure I'm going to heaven. And I have that great peace and joy. Well, then that's marvelous. Not, oh, well, maybe I might go to heaven. No, I am going to heaven. I will never die because Christ died in my place. Is that not marvelous? But that's the gospel, well, that so many people have forgotten about. But we must increase our marvel of it. We must think of these things. Well, when the Lord Jesus Christ was on earth, he marveled at some things we read. He marveled at faith. Yes, he marveled that faith could be found in people. But he marveled also at unbelief. The Lord Jesus Christ marveled at unbelief. He marveled that people would reject him. He marveled that the Son of God would come down only in love to save people, to lay his life down for people, and yet people would still reject him. What a marvel that is. It's a tragic marvel. It's a very depressing marvel, but it's a marvel nonetheless that there are so many people in this world, when they hear the gospel and about the love of God and about Christ dying, that they prefer the world instead. This world that is so dark, this world that is so sinful and sorrowful, so confusing, so despairing at times, so hopeless. Isn't it a marvel that people, so many people, choose that instead of the love of God? Even the Lord Jesus Christ marveled at that. Well, the Lord Jesus, he knows everyone here in this room. Is he this day, when he looks upon every one of us, is he marveling at your faith? Or is he marveling at your unbelief? He knows your heart. Maybe he's marveling at your unbelief. Maybe there are some people here come so regularly, every week, and yet the gospel has no impact on them whatsoever. Maybe he's marveling at your unbelief. But may it be so that he marvels at your faith. Oh, why would you not have faith when you hear these words of everlasting life? What is it in you that is preventing you from coming to Christ? Throw it out. Show the Lord Jesus your faith. Lord, I have faith in you, that you have died that I may be forgiven, so that Christ would marvel and that all of us would marvel. The greatest joy of this church, the greatest marvel, is not to see many, many people coming in, is not to see the numbers. We would desire just one person every week to come in and to be saved wholly, to have faith and to profess their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and so that we can see them truly changed, truly transformed. We long to marvel at so many souls saved in this place. Well, I hope that is the desire of each and every one of us. Don't go home this morning, this afternoon, to an unmarvelous life, the life you've always lived, back to the same old routine, back to the same things you watch on the television. Choose a marvelous life for yourself, a life that is reconciled to God, a life where you know the forgiveness of sin, a life that shall never end. You can only know a marvelous life if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Dear Lord our God, our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we do pray and plead with thee that thou wouldst bless so many in this place. Lord, that they would know the true marvel of knowing thee and loving thee and knowing thy power in their own lives. Lord, forgive us all, each one, our sin. Forgive us all the times when we have not been a marvel to those around us. We have not been a light in this world of darkness. Help us in the coming days that we may earnestly and truly live for thee. We ask it all in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen. Amen.